Morning once again. If you have your Bibles, would you please open up to Romans chapter 12? Being a father now, I used to watch those videos and it didn't bother me, but now you look at them and I understand the parents' emotions, how they, you can get really stirred up by watching those pictures when they're young as they grow older. Someone told me this morning, Hallie's already getting too old. I said, I know, I understand. I want to look at a few verses this morning in Romans chapter 12. I've entitled the message this morning, The Attributes of an Effective Christian. So we've got high school seniors being sent out into the world, coming out from under the wings of their parents, going out to the next stage of life, whatever that might be, the workforce or higher education. They're moving on. So I wanted to share with them, but also with you as well, the attributes of the effective Christian. What are those things? Are they found in your life? And how can you live as an effective Christian? We all desire to be effective in what we do. We all desire to be effective in what we say. We all desire to be effective. The other day I found an ant mound out in my yard, fire ant mound. I wanted to get rid of it. Went down to the store, paid high dollar for some ant mound, some ant killer. Came back and put it on there. A few days later, those ants were still there. That ant killer was ineffective. I wasted my time, I wasted my energy, wasted my efforts to purchase that and then put it on the mound. It didn't take care of the problem. It was ineffective. No one desires to be ineffective. So I want to give you today some attributes of an effective life that Paul writes about in the book of Romans. We're going to begin reading in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to hop down and read verses 9 through 14. And I'll point out a few attributes as we go here, as we look at these things. So I want you to be looking and saying, are these attributes that we see here, that Paul's writing to the Roman church about, that I as a Christian should have in my life, are they reflected in my life? Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's jump down to verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the accomplishments of these this morning that we recognize. We pray that as we continue on in our life, that we would strive to reflect the attributes of an effective Christian, the attributes that you've given to us. We pray that we would seek those things out, seek to serve you with all of our life. May you be glorified during this time, the sharing of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Graduates, one day you will apply for a job if you have not done so already. One day you'll graduate college, or if you're graduating high school and entering the workforce, you'll go out and pursue some sort of career, some sort of job to make a living, to support your family. Many in this room have already done that. You've already sought after a career. You've already went through a career. You've already retired from your career. Our young graduates will be looking for that role, that place that they're going to fill in, that they're going to serve, they're going to earn an income for their family. When they get time to do that, they'll look through the newspaper, they'll find the job that they're looking for, teacher, nurse, doctor, accountant, whatever it might be, and they'll find that title. And then below that title, there will be listed some attributes that that employer views are necessary for that person to do well in that position. Teacher, to have been to school, you have to have some experience, you have to be certified. Those attributes will be listed, and that employer says, this is what qualifies that person to be in that role that they're applying for. So graduates, once you get that done, once you find the job, it's easy to find them in the newspaper. I did that a lot when I graduated college. I had a whole newspaper section circled. I want this job. That didn't mean they were going to give it to me. Next stage, you apply for the position. They'll have an application, but one of the major things you'll do is fill out the resume. Type up a resume. Yeah, it'll have your contact information on there, but it will also include all the attributes about you that say you're qualified for the position you're applying for. It tells your experience. It tells other jobs you've had. It tells your education, so that that person, when they look at that piece of paper, one-sided, they say today, so that's some advice for you. Only one side? No. So they'll look at that and they'll be able to quickly understand this person may be qualified for this role, this position that I'm hiring for. They're going to have stacks of those in the hundreds, and you're going to want to stand out. So you're going to put your best attributes, the best about you that will fulfill that role they're hiring for. You're going to want to put that on there. One day, metaphorically speaking, of course, you'll stand before the Lord, and you'll hold a resume that's represented by your life. Across the top, it'll say, Christian. Across the top, it'll say, Christian. Does your life reflect the attributes of a Christian? Will the Lord, when you stand in judgment, will He look and say, this person did well. This person did good. This person fulfilled his role as a Christian. One day, when you stand before Him, will those attributes be reflected in your life? That's the question I want to confront you with. As we look at these attributes, as we read about them, as we see what Paul is teaching this Roman church, it's necessary for them to live effectively as a Christian. Are these apparent in your life? Paul says here that God is looking. He desires men and women to come to Him in faith. He's looking for Christians. But he says the major qualification in verse 1 of chapter 12 is that they live a life of sacrifice. They sacrifice themselves to the Lord. When you came to Christ, you didn't just come to Him and say, forgive me of sin so that I might be in heaven forever. You said, Lord, yes, I want forgiveness. I need forgiveness, but I give my life to You. I give it all over to You today, Lord. It's like transitioning from one job to another. You've worked at a place for so long. You've followed their guidelines. You've reached out for their goals. You've had their vision, and you decide this isn't the place for you any longer. So you turn and you go, and you seek out another job and get a new job. If you're working full-time, you're not going to try to work both of them. You're not going to try to keep your foot in this door and your foot in this door and work two different jobs. No, you break all ties with this former company. You turn and you give yourself totally to this other company. You give yourself, you sacrifice what you had here for something greater. We come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. God's kingdom is ruled by His Son, Jesus Christ. We cut all ties to the past. We cut all ties to this kingdom of darkness and come into God's kingdom, and we begin living by His hopes, His plan, His vision. We live a life of sacrifice. You can't be in this world and this world. You can't be in the kingdom of darkness and be in the kingdom of light at the same time. Revelation tells us that God spews those out of His mouth who try to be hot and cold, the warm ones. If you're neither hot nor cold, He spews you out of His mouth. Which kingdom are you in this morning? Have you sacrificed all to serve the King? Men, let's think of it this way. If you're married today, back before you got married, let's say you had two girlfriends. That could get you in a lot of trouble right there. But let's say you couldn't decide between the two. You know, but they both looked basically the same. They had both basically the same qualities. You just couldn't decide which one you wanted to spend the rest of your life with. So you decided, a bright plan, that you would propose to one of them, ask her to marry you. She said yes, but then say, you know what, I'm going to hang on to this one just in case. How would that have went over? Like a ton of feathers, huh? That would not have done well. Yet many of us have come before the Father, said, I want to receive forgiveness from your Son, Jesus Christ, but I want to hang on to some of these things over here. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. Amen. Christian life is a life of giving all for Him. Is that attribute, is that quality being represented in your life? Have you given all to Him? Here's the beautiful thing about this. Here's the beautiful thing about living our life to giving our life to Christ, living for Him. We don't have to have these attributes that we're going to look at in a moment before we get in, before He takes us. He knows that we're flawed. He knows that we've failed. He knows that we've fallen short, and yet He takes us in, and then He begins teaching us. He begins instructing us. He begins directing us on how we live. Sanctification is the fancy word for that, that we daily become more like Christ. Are you daily becoming more like Christ? Or are you the opposite, daily becoming less like Christ? You cannot express these attributes in the purest sense of the word without God's power. There's no way you can express the love of God to man until you understand the love of God for man. There's no way you can express the mercy of God to man until you understand the mercy of God for man. You must have first given your life as a sacrifice to Him, surrendered totally. Now it's possible, quite possible, to fake this whole thing. Quite possible to get the appearance that you are doing well as a Christian. It's quite possible to do that. But one day, as I said earlier, you will stand before the Father and the truth will be made known about your life, how you lived, what you did, the choices you'd made. I read last week of the CEO from Yahoo, the internet company, on the downhill slide, trying to stay in the market, but headed out. They had to fire their CEO. Been on the job for several months. It was found, as the paper worded it, there was a discrepancy on his resume. He had said that he had some academic achievements that he had not attained yet. He lied. He lied on his resume. He was not truthful, and it was found out. Will you be found out one day? Or will you strive to live a life of honesty, truthfulness, holiness before the Lord? Let's look quickly at these attributes. Paul listed 13 here. You guys are getting nervous because it's like 9:50, 10:50. 13? No, I'm just going to look at four this morning. We're going to look quickly at four of them. The first one is found in verse 9. I ask you the question once again, is this attribute found in your life? Love without hypocrisy. The New Living Translation says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Be sincere in your love for others. Be sincere in your love for your wife. Be sincere in your love for your husband. Be sincere in your love for your kids. Be sincere in this family of church members, these people, this congregation, when we get together, be sincere in your love for one another. Be sincere in your love for the community. Be sincere in your love for the world. Like I said, we cannot express the love of God to man, to others, until we understand the love of God for us. Do you live a life that you love without hypocrisy? The word here is agape love, a selfless love. Would you give up something for yourself to love someone else, to care for someone else? Is that attribute expressed in your life? That's the first one. Let's look at the second one. Verse 9. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Do you hate what is evil? When I was a small boy, my mother would try to feed me lima beans. I hated lima beans. In the truest sense, the strongest sense of the word. I didn't want those on my plate. I didn't want them around me. I hated them. So I didn't go get a spoonful and start sniffing on them or smelling them or licking them to see how they'd gotten any better. I didn't do that. Why is it that we push the limits on what is evil and what is good? Why do we walk up to the boundary and say, you know, this is only bad if I go that far, but when I'm over here, it's not that bad? Why do we push the boundaries on evil? Why do we push the boundaries on sin? An attribute of the Christian faith, an attribute of a Christian is that we hate evil, we despise it, and we flee from it. Are you fleeing from evil? Are you dabbling in it just to see how far you can go? Sometimes students will come into my office and they'll just be burdened. Richard, I don't know if I'm saved. We'll talk about a few things. I'll ask them to share with me how, when they gave their life to Christ, some things along those lines. We'll talk. Eventually, I'll send them out of there sometimes with a book. The title of the book is, Am I Really a Christian? The fourth chapter in that book is titled, If You Enjoy Sin, You're Not a Christian. That's hard-hitting, in-the-face reality. If you enjoy sin, you're not a Christian. Do you enjoy sin? Do you enjoy pushing the boundaries between good and evil? Or are you wholeheartedly committed to serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Where are you at today? Third thing I want to look at is found in that verse 9 as well. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. The New Living Translation, it's more literal. I like what it says. It says, hold tightly. Hold tightly to what is good. In the 90s, a movie came out with the hero of all movies, Sylvester Stallone. It's called Cliffhanger. The opening scenes of that movie, there's a cable going across a large canyon. He's hanging on there with this woman whose harness has broken. And he's hanging on to her with all of his strength. Hanging on to all muscles bulging. I couldn't imitate. He's hanging on like everything that he has. He doesn't want to let her go. He's clinging to her. Imagine if that was you hanging on that high wire. That line across this canyon, and you had a loved one who was about to fall, to plummet, you would hold tightly. You would cling to your loved one. You would pull them up and hold them to your chest and tell them they're safe. That's the sense we get here. When he says to cling to what is good, hold on to what is good. Cling to what is good. If there's ever a time as Christians that we need to cling to what is good, it's now. There's ever a time that we need to cling to what is good. As American Christians, it's now. If there's ever a time to not lose our grip, today is the day. Are you clinging tightly, holding firm to what is good, to what is acceptable, to what is perfect? Is that attribute represented, shown in your life? Graduates, one day you'll be in your first job. One day you'll be in your first college class. You'll be tempted with evil. You'll be tempted with evil. Take these answers to this test. You'll get an A. Do this behind the boss's back and you'll get away with it for a time. You'll be tempted with evil and you'll have the opportunity to take the quick way around and get ahead. But I encourage you, I implore you, cling to what is good, do what is right, be honest, maintain integrity in all that you do. I've been convicted of this lately in my own life, and it's not a huge deal. or I didn't view it as a huge deal. But as I prayed and looked at this, I understand that in everything we do, in everything we say, in every word I express to someone, I am to be honest and sincere. Richard, how many students did you have in service Wednesday night? Oh, we had about 60. Well, we had 55 there. Why? Why would that be necessary to add 5? Amen. How much money did you give? I gave about $20. You gave 5. Why is it that we allow ourselves leniency in the use of our words, in the expression of what we've done? Why are we not true? Because we no longer cling to what is good. Does it matter if I say the wrong number? Yes. Does it matter if I tell my wife that I'm driving past Walmart when I'm really driving past Burger King coming home? Yes, it matters. All those things matter. And they may seem silly. They seem lame. They may seem small. But truthfulness and integrity matter. We must cling to what is good. We must cling to what is right. We must hate evil. We must love. We must love without hypocrisy. And the final thing I want to point out to you today is found in verse 12. Graduates, congregation, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. When I was working on my undergraduate degree, I had a class in business communications, and we studied endlessly how organizations communicate from the leader to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, how information travels up and down this chain of command. It always seemed that the most effective organization was able to communicate back and forth freely from the bottom to the top. There was no stop in between. The mailman could communicate with the CEO. The CEO could communicate with the mailman. The lowest person could communicate with the highest. The highest could in turn communicate with the lowest. When a man got called up from the bottom floor into the office on the 10th floor, he knew what was going to be expected of him. As Christians, we have an open channel of communication, not only to say, God, give me this, but He as our leader can say, I want you to live in this way. This is my heart. This is my vision. This is my hope for you. So that one day when we stand in judgment with that metaphorical resume that says Christian across the top, we'll already know what He wants to have written there. We'll already know what He wants our life to have said because He's told us. Be devoted to prayer. So we've looked at these 4 attributes. There's 13 of them there. Does your life express these attributes that say you'll be an effective Christian? That Paul says these things need to be apparent, not hidden. These things need to be visible, not invisible. Are these attributes visible in your life this morning? Do you love without hypocrisy? Do you hate what is evil? Do you cling to what is good? Are you devoted to prayer? If we could ever grasp this as a church, grasp this as a church in our country, we could take our community, we could take our country by storm. I think if we just learned to love pure and true and right without hypocrisy, we would do well. Are you doing those things today? In verse 2, Paul tells us, if you're not loving true, if you're not hating evil, if you're not holding on to what is good, if you're not devoted to prayer, then he tells us in verse 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed. And here's how you do it, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. It matters what you put up here. It matters what you listen to. It matters what you watch. It matters who you talk to. All those things matter. What are you putting up here? Because what you put in determines what comes out. In just a few moments, we're going to have a time of invitation. Now, if you've been sitting there today and you've said, I'm a Christian, but I need to be renewed. I don't see these attributes apparent in my life, but I want to. Then I'm going to be standing down here in the front. Come take me by the hand and just say, I'd like to make a change. Here's how you do it. First of all, you repent of the way you've been living. You say, I've been trying to live in these two worlds, the kingdom of darkness and God's kingdom. It's not working. You need to turn from this one wholeheartedly. You haven't turned your back on this one. Turn towards Him. You can do that this morning. Repenting is like you're going down the one-way street and you see that you're going the wrong way. So you stop and you turn and go the right way. You can do that this morning. And then you believe upon the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You believe in Him. You trust Him to do what He says He'll do. Trying to maintain a life in both worlds shows that we don't fully trust Him. At the moment that we fully trust Him, then we'll be able to express pure love. Then we'll be able to express pure mercy. Then we'll be able to express hope to others. Do you exemplify, are these attributes apparent in your life? As the music plays after I pray, you just come. You don't have to grab me by the hand. You can kneel down at the altar and say, Lord, I haven't been doing what I need to do. I haven't lived the way I should. Get that right today before we leave. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. Thank You that we can rely upon it. Pray that You would transform us into Your Son, that we would be more like Him each day, and we would strive for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.